Hi there, you're listening to Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. I hope you're having a very nice weekend so far. Today in our programme we hear from you and reveal the answer to our latest quiz question in Mailbox. We'll also have a look at an interesting aspect of the Czech language in Soundcheck, and later we'll bring you a look at love across cultures, relationships between Czechs and foreigners. But first, here's this month's edition of Mailbox, presented by Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome to Mailbox. Many thanks for all your feedback, including your reception reports and quiz answers. Now straight on to your emails. Our regular follower, Linda Mary Hauptmann from the United States, sent us this message regarding developments on the Czech political scene.
I could not help but chuckle when I read the story about how President Zeman had comments about the candidates from all parties. I don't understand how communism managed to last as long as it did, because all of the Czechs, Poles, Russians, Croatians, Ukrainians and other Slavic people I've met over the years are so opinionated and rarely restrain their comments about anything or anyone. If my dad had become president of the Czech Republic, I'm sure there would have been lots of long radio and television addresses to the nation airing his opinions. As always, my best to the Czech Republic and all its people, including President Zeman and the Houses of Parliament. I wish we had the parliamentary system here in the United States, because there needs to be some house cleaning of both parties currently in power.
Odon Porto de Almeida from Brazil asked a question.
Can you inform me the title of the book written by Ms. Helga Hošková-Weissová as per Ms. Masha Volinsky's article on the Bubny train station?
The book, A Testimony of a Holocaust Survivor, is called Deník. The title means journal, and indeed it is a diary that Helga kept throughout the war years. Harold Yeglin from Virginia writes,
Thank you for featuring the music of Dol Dauba and his orchestra. I listened to Radio Prague via the internet.
And Jaroslav Bitušek, who divides his time between Florida and Prague, wrote,
Being somewhat familiar with the recent changes instituted at the Institute for the Study of Totalitarian Regimes by President Zeman, it did not come to me completely as a surprise that the EU's counterparts have suspended membership of the Czech Institute. Clearly, former collaborators of the Communist Secret Police, or STB, should not run the Institute. They lack credibility to do so.
Thank you for all your comments. Just a reminder that you can send us reception reports even though you listen only to our internet broadcasts. We have a brand new series of USL cards for you this year featuring natural landmarks of the Czech Republic. And now on to our monthly quiz. Jaroslav Jedrzejczak from Poland writes,
His name is Paul Wegener. He was born on 11th of December 1874 and died on 13th of September 1948. He was a German actor, writer and film director and a German filmmaking pioneer. The name of his silent movie that takes place in Prague and was also made there is The Student of Prague, Der Student von Prague, also known as A Bargain with Satan. It is a silent horror movie made in 1913. The film was remade in 1926 under the same title. Other remakes were produced in 1935 and 2004. It is generally deemed to be the first independent film in history.
Li Ming from China wrote,
In 1913, Wegener was in Prague filming a Faustian tale called The Student of Prague. Although the movie overall lacks some of the extravagance and surrealism of later German horror films, its plot provided for the sort of visual effects and experimentation that characterized expressionism, as star Paul Wegener played both the titular student and his reflection, which takes on a murderous life of its own.
This answer is from Paul R. Peacock from Australia.
His working career started with studying law, but by the age of 20, he decided to concentrate on acting instead. A few years later, motion pictures were a new medium. He decided to get into and appeared in his own film, The Student of Prague, later appearing in his only Hollywood movie, The Magician. He was married a total of 6 times, and 2 of these were to the same woman, Lida Salmanova, an actress who co-starred with him a number of times. He passed away in his sleep in Berlin on 13th of September 1948 at the age of 73.
Valery Lugovsky from Belarus added an interesting snippet of information.
The famous geographer and Greenland traveller Professor Alfred Wegener was his cousin, who in 1912 developed the great theory of continental drift.
And finally, Colin Law from New Zealand writes,
Wegener toured the provinces before joining a troupe of actors in 1906. He turned to the new medium of motion pictures in 1912 and appeared in the 1913 movie The Student of Prague. At the outbreak of World War I, he volunteered as a non-commissioned officer on the Western Front. But after a stroke, he was admitted to hospital, ending his active military service. In Prague, Wegener had heard about the golem, which stirred him to adapt the old Jewish legend to a film, which he co-directed with Henrik Galin. The golem was a success in 1915, but was subsequently lost except for a few short fragments. More Wegener movies and stage appearances followed, despite world wars and political disruptions.
Thank you all very much for your answers and thorough research. This time, our prize goes to Sabar Hisham from Morocco. Congratulations. And here's a new question for the coming weeks. This time, we want to know the name of the Chicago-born American film actress of Czech descent who turns 81 in February. Please send us your answers, as usual, to english@radio.cz. That's where you can also send us your comments and questions. You can also keep in touch via Facebook and Twitter. We'll be looking forward to your feedback. Until next time, take care.
Thank you for that, Pavla Horáková. Now here is another look at the Czech language via the medium of the pop song, in this edition of Soundcheck with Daniela Lazarová.
Očích mám sůl a na hlavě máslo, mažu vám med okolo úst, ale nad rozlitým mlíkem nebulí.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language course in which you can learn new phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is by a singer going by the name of Ksindl X, and it's called Poslední večeře, The Last Supper.
V očích mám sůl a na hlavě máslo, mažu vám med okolo úst, ale nad rozlitým mlíkem nebulí.
The song is chock full of idioms relating to food. Doubtless you can think of many in your own language. See how they compare with ours. Mít na hlavě máslo, literally translated, means to have butter on your head, or as the English say, to have egg on your face. You can also have honey around your mouth when someone smears it there. Mazat met kolem úst or kolem pusy means someone is singing your praises, trying to get into your good books.
V očích mám sůl a na hlavě máslo, mažu vám met okolo úst, ale nad rozlitým mlíkem nebulím. Všechno, co jsem si navařil, to dneska si sním, dnes poduším půst, a tak vás zvu všechny k tabuli. Mám knedlík, vím, že jsem v rejži a že mě odsoudí celý váš.
Moving on to side dishes, mám v krku knedlík, I have a dumpling in my throat, means someone is so nervous they can barely swallow. While jsem v rejži, I'm in rice, means you're in big trouble. Horké brambor means hot potato, something no one wants to deal with. While utáhnout někoho na vařený nudli, to reel someone in on a boiled spaghetti, suggests that they are extremely easy to manipulate. Someone like that will fall for your tricks. Skočí vám na špek, meaning they will jump on your bacon. Don't ask me why. And you can make them drunk on a roll. Opítě rohlíkem, another expression referring to gullibility.
Chtěl bych vás utáhnout na vařený nudli, ale vím, že mi neskočíte na špek, když vás zkouším opít rohlíkem.
If you have had a few libová léta or lean years, it means you have not fared too well. Zavařovat means to preserve something, but if you say zavařil jsem si, it means you have got yourself into big trouble, in which case you may have to zbalit si svých pár švestek, pack up your few plums, or possessions in other words, and leave. The main thing is neplakat nad rozlitým mlékem, not to cry over spilt milk. And when you get a cake, look for the cherry on top, třešinka na dortu, meaning an additional bonus. And I end today on a Czech proverb which says, jak k jídlu, tak k dílu. As you eat, you are likely to work, meaning don't expect a good job from people who pick at their food. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for learning Czech with me and naschledanou.
A potom prostřete stůl, vždyť tak má se dnes prejžít. Prostě popojedem, spalím si svých pár švestek a potom naschle.
That edition of Soundcheck was written and presented by Daniela Lazarová. Now Sarah Borůvka looks at what happens when Czechs and foreigners meet and fall in love. That's in this edition of Czech Life.
Černý, hello, Matovi.
Tak Matovi.
Bethany Adams and Tomáš Dokškal have been living together in Prague for nearly 4 years. Bethany is originally from Idaho, America, and Tomáš has grown up here in the Czech capital. The two are one of the city's many intercultural couples, which seem to have become much more common here in the past decade. At a recent visit to their apartment, I asked Tomáš and Bethany how they first met.
We met because I was working for his sister, actually. I found a job teaching drama and English, and his sister owned the school that was doing that. And then it's not really a very interesting story, but it ended up that she had a weekend like trip for her school, and he came and was kind of stranded there, and I came and I was kind of stranded there because my students weren't there, so we ended up spending the weekend hanging out together. So that's how we got to know each other.
At that point, Bethany had only lived in the Czech Republic for 8 months, and she moved in with Tomáš fairly quickly, just a few months after they got to know each other. For both of them, it was the first relationship with someone of a different nationality, even though Tomáš says that he had met foreigners in Prague before and found it very interesting to interact with them.
I was around foreigners in Prague when I was a teenager a lot. It was really cool and fancy for us, really interesting, and there was this hostel in Žižkov, and it was close our school, a gymnasium, and we went there all the time, and there were these like foreigners, kind of like hipsters. It was this really like cool hostel, and we went there like after school and then even like instead of school and so, and it felt really cool to be kind of taken as one of those cool travelers.
Michaela Škrábová has a degree in psychology and is writing her dissertation on the topic of intercultural communication. I asked her if she agrees that factors like an increase in migration to the Czech Republic over the past 20 years have led to a growing number of relationships between locals and foreigners.
I was checking some data in the Czech Statistical Office, and since the year 1995 to 2000, there was maybe just 1% of intercultural marriage. But recently, the percentage of intercultural marriage is getting to 3 or 4%. And I think it's a very general number because we don't know how many intercultural couples are living together without getting married, or how many couples are maybe getting married in some other country. So I think that according to time, when the borders are open, especially when we talk about Czech Republic, so in Prague, there are more and more international companies where usually many bosses or workers are foreigners. So I think that logically it will be the phenomena of the next years.
Of course, more and more Czechs also spend time studying or working abroad. Rosalia Kohoutková, a young director who is in the process of finishing her thesis film for Prague's famous FAMU Film Academy, met her French boyfriend Anthony when she was in Paris for an internship. Now he is moving to Prague to live with her. I asked Rosalia if she is worried about him feeling at home here and if there are any points in which she feels their two cultures really differ.
Already we had to face some little problems. For example, that the Czechs, they don't drink, and this is a big difference between the Czech people and the French people, that we don't really drink like this small French or Italian coffee in the morning, which is like so ordinary in France, that like you go on your way to work, you stop by in some cafe and you drink your little coffee in the morning, which doesn't really exist in Prague. So, and he needs it. He's dependent on it. So, for example, yes, I'm trying to like find him some bar which would be open so early in the morning and they would have a good coffee.
Michaela Škrábová, aside from focusing her research on intercultural psychology and communication, has also been in a romantic relationship with an Italian for the past 9 months. I asked her how the Czech and the Italian culture go together.
Czech people are not really a culture of dining or eating together. I think we, already from the communism era, we are used to eat just quickly something which will fill in the stomach. But we are not so much used to communicate and enjoy the process. So that's something what the Spanish and Southerners mind.
And so do you get to eat a lot of great Italian home-cooked food now?
Yes, I do. I'm very bad cook, honestly, and I enjoy all the advantages of having Italian cook at home.
Aside from eating and drinking habits, intercultural couples also face more difficult challenges, says Michaela Škrábová, especially when the relationship becomes a long-term one.
I think at the beginning, it's usually more positive. Because, especially for people who like new things, who like to get to know something exciting and new. But when you go deeper to the relationship where the communication is really important, so often the communication can become more problematic because you can never feel the small nuances, you never understand the humor fully, and you never probably can understand all the behavior of your partner.
Another factor for some couples can be the language barrier. I asked Bethany and Tomáš if they have ever felt that being from different cultures made it harder for them to get along, communicate, or resolve problems.
The language was an issue, and kind of she's shaking her head that not. Well, the language was an issue and kind of still is, but now it's, if you are talking about English, now it's just very little issue. It's more like that we get sometimes impatient with each other when we have to like repeat one sentence that is not important at all, something like, did you do the laundry or something like that, and you don't understand, and then you have to repeat it like 3 times, then you get impatient. But it's not a big issue because there would be things like this in any relationship.
The couple speaks English most of the time, but Bethany enjoys practicing her Czech with Tomáš's family, who she says are very patient with her. For Bethany, the language barrier is less of an issue than their different attitudes towards what is romantic.
It all seems really silly when I say it, but for some reason it matters when... when it's like you're living with it. I guess like that I think that Americans and Czech people have completely different idea of what is romantic and what, or like how to be romantic or how romantic you should be, how often. So I think that's a difference.
Yeah, I agree. Let's say only if you watch the movies and the translations, that in American movies there is I love you all the time, and Czech translation is mám tě rád, I like you. So only from this you can see kind of the difference, that we are not so straightforward, or like talking about our feelings all the time and kind of without any thinking about it, or that we keep our feelings more to ourselves.
Being exposed to a different culture can also have a sort of learning effect on people, says Rosalia Kohotkova. After spending a lot of time in Paris, she has incorporated some of the Parisian habits she enjoyed into her everyday life here in Prague.
For example, what I try to do now in Prague, in my hometown, is to like be nice with the people in the shop, that have some like small conversation with someone, with some like Chinese girl who sells the vegetable, for example, which is like so normal in Paris that you like wake up in the morning, you go to buy your bread and you're like, how are you? You ask some like little stupid things, but it really makes the conversation with the people and the being with the people nicer.
Despite factors that can be difficult, such as the language barrier or different lifestyles, the couples I spoke to seem to appreciate the cultural differences. And sometimes being aware of them also helps you to accept character traits of your partner that are quite opposite to your own, says Tomáš.
There is a good point about Bethany or so, or about maybe the intercultural relationship, is that we are aware of the differences, and Bethany knows that she talks more than I'm used to. And I was talking to a friend about that, and we were discussing how that is when our girlfriends talk too much and we are not that interested. And I told him, yeah, sometimes I just, you know, say, sorry, I wasn't listening to you, and she says, yeah, that's good, or that's you know, she doesn't get offended or so, because we are kind of aware of the difference. And he was completely perplexed by that, because he would never dare to say anything like that.
Bethany says that one thing she has learned from her relationship with Tomáš is that accepting the differences is much easier than trying to be someone who you're not.
I'm not Czech. I'm never going to be Czech. I'm American. And just accepting that and saying, like, it's not gonna change. I'm not going to become Czech. It's never going to happen. So, I mean, I might change. And like I said, my whole life has changed and I'm a different person, but I'm still an American. And I'm never going to be able to be like a Czech woman, even if I want to.
That edition of Czech Life was written and presented by Sarah Barufka, and it was first broadcast on Radio Prague in May 2012. If you've got any comments about today's program, do get in touch. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, or you can get in touch via Facebook or Twitter. But that's all for now. From me, Ian Willoughby, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you for listening and goodbye.